Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
Sister Tignanelli here. Money, Riches, and Wealth. And another day, another Money, Riches, and Wealth. And we're tonight going to be talking commercial property casualty insurance with one, the person that I work with personally and for our company. And also we refer a lot of clients to them. That's Chris Cassendike, Cassendike Insurance Group. And, you know, if you wanted to actually call in, ask a property casualty commercial question yourself, you can feel free, 410-922-6680. But I'm only going to be talking commercial property casualty insurance tonight. So that's the sole topic. And if you have a commercial property casualty question, you can feel free to call in. But right now, I'd like to introduce Chris. Chris, are you there?
Yeah, Drew, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Hopefully you're abiding by the law and staying safe inside and not allowed to move anywhere unless you get permission from Larry.
You got it.
So, Chris, I appreciate you being here with us tonight. You know, commercial property casualty insurance is a topic that I believe a lot of business owners get, but I don't think a lot of business owners really know what they have. Or do they have what's right?
Yeah, and there's a lot of debate back and forth and a lot of new products coming every day. So a lot of it takes the time to sit with a business owner or operator to talk through them about really understanding what they're doing in their day-to-day operation and make sure they have the correct insurance for that. It's not as simple as most of the personal lines policies would be out there because there's more operating lines, but most of the time, we do typically find some gaps in the coverage.
Right. So, Chris, you know, a lot of times, you know, if a company's relatively good size, let's say they've got, you know, 50 people or something of that sort, they've got a chief operating officer, you know, et cetera, et cetera. There's a good chance that they've really looked their policy over, that done a professional job. But I see a lot of small business owners. They have two, three, four, five people. They have, you know, or just a one-man shop or whatever the case may be. And they're going to their homeowner's insurance agent or their auto insurance agent. And the agent's slapping some commercial BOP policy on them and telling them that they've got, you know, the coverage. And it drives me crazy because most of the time it's not appropriate for what the guy needs.
Yeah, I mean, you're dead on. A lot of the time people just kind of give the cheapest policy out there to say, hey, this covers, you know, what you all do. And unfortunately, it doesn't. Of course, it easily could, you know, if you're a restaurant or a retail store, most of the basic policies out there could meet your basic needs. But when you get to that next level, you know, there's restaurants that also manufacture their own food and ship it throughout the country, or, you know, a retailer who decides that they're going to open their own manufacturing line. Well, all of a sudden, that old policy is no longer relevant, yet, you know, the insurance broker is not thinking, oh, I'll just call them because I'm guessing something changed. It does take the double side of communication where we recommend people call their insurance brokers. I mean, that's why their broker is part of their team, and call them and ask questions and tell them about what's going on.
So, and also the key is that you're dealing with somebody that is specializing in business insurance because it is a totally different world from personal lines. You deal with a guy that's dealing personal lines and he's throwing some business policies around every once in a while, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to make a mistake.
Yeah, the personal lines brokers typically within the larger firms operate on a different line than the commercial side. It's when you nailed it, the smaller agencies out there, and there's nothing wrong with a small agency, but some of the smaller agencies might not have as much staff, so that one person is trying to be that jack of all trades and deal with commercial one day and personal the next day, and that can get you in a little bit of trouble.
One of the coverages that I see often, and it's a simple coverage that you figure everyone should know about that does that's going to do commercial insurance, is non-owned auto. And I can't tell you how many times I see a business owner come in, and he's got a policy, and he's got employees, and they're driving around for him, and there's no non-owned auto on there. And so why don't you explain what non-owned auto is, and is it true that you find it lacking more often than it should be?
Yeah, it really just depends on the carrier. Some carriers do try to include the higher non-owned auto as part of their general liability policy. Others make it carve off completely separate onto an automobile policy. So the big difference is most people almost always nail it when they have an owned automobile because they're required to show proof of insurance and put a certificate in their car. Unfortunately, what people don't think about and where we hopefully get a lot of calls is what happens when they rent a vehicle for work, or if they use a personal vehicle while working, do they have the coverage that extends there? If it's a personal car and that, you know, that owner of that car that's driving it only has those state minimum requirements, which could be $30,000 or $50,000, yet they're going out on a work, whether it's commuting people or delivering product. If they were to get into an accident while working and that $30,000 or $50,000 limit expires, it's going to come back to the organization and could come back to the organization from a first dollar. So it just depends on the state rules. But, yeah, most people miss that as a requirement. And then the second piece where people don't think about it is they, you know, get on an airplane and they go rent a vehicle.
Right.
I mean, anywhere you fly, whether it's for a conference, whether it's for any sort of work trip, you got to make sure you've got the coverage there, or you could obviously buy it from the rental company.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people realize that when you're doing work for somebody else and you're driving your car or whatever, there's an agency relationship between your personal automobile now and this business. And so if you have an accident or if you're out on a, like you say, you go to a conference and you're renting a car and the only insurance you can give them is your personal insurance, but it's obvious that you're in an agency relationship for your company at that conference, now you've got a relationship back to the company. And if you hurt somebody, they're going to be able to sue you and your personal. But they're also going to be able to go right after the business, and you got to make sure that you're covered as the business owner. Anyway, Chris, we got to take a pause right here. We'll come back, talk about all the other important questions and things. You can talk about some of the new things. But also, if anybody out there wants to talk about commercial property casualty, has a question for Chris, you can feel free to call in 410-922-6680. And right now, I got to go to traffic. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, president of the Financial Consulate and host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. So often a radio listener calls me saying, I've been listening to you for years and have been meaning to call. When they come in for their comprehensive financial physical, they say, I wish I had done this years ago. If you've been meaning to call and meet with us, then do not wait. Call now to learn more about our trademark financial physical. The financial physical is designed to be a comprehensive second opinion analyzing all your goals and objectives. Are you maximizing tax efficiencies? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in retirement? Is your portfolio properly allocated, or just a few of the many parts of the physical? The best part of our service is you get to see the final product before you decide if you want to pay for it. We do this to assure you we are not selling product, and we guarantee the physical to be truly beneficial. Do not wait any longer. Call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with Chris Kassendyke, and we're talking commercial property casualty insurance businesses. What do you need? It's not as simple as you might think, commercial property casualty. So, Chris, one of the big questions that's going on right now, you got this coronavirus and businesses are shut down and the public's not allowed to literally come to certain businesses. The government has made it illegal to walk into your business because you're considered, quote unquote, non-essential. And there's been a big discussion as to does business interruption insurance – impact that. So explain what business interruption insurance is and explain what position the insurance companies are taking on this big issue right now.
Yeah, so right into the most difficult question of the hour. So business interruption coverage is defined as a property insurance coverage where something causes a property damage to your location that then has a reason that you can't open or lose funds or can't sell, whatever it may be. The easy example now that we're hearing the most about on the radio and the TV is if you're a hotel owner and the hotel is shut down because of the pandemic, what happens to their lost revenue? The stance from the bulk of the marketplace, and I'll never use the terms every carrier, is that the business interruption is not a covered peril when it relates to pandemic. So the loss of revenue and the loss of operation did not cause any property damage to that location. This has gotten to be a really fine carved out policy because different carriers do have some small sublimits where they do have coverage for pandemic. It's very rare. There's been a couple of those cases reported. But for the most part, the take from the market industry is that it is not a covered peril and those claims have been denied. I think what we're hearing from the government is there might be some pushback there. But the stance from the insurance policies are reading no coverage.
Yeah, not to mention that it could be a huge, as President Trump would say, huge. It would be a huge number that insurance companies would have to come up with if every business owner has been put out of business because of this, that they would have to make good on business interruption insurance.
It would be a tough piece because the stance from most of the insurance companies, and again, I'm a broker, so I'm not the owner of a company, but just what we're hearing in the marketplace is that most of the policies define that they do not cover for pandemic or, you know, flu, virus, whatever it may be, under that policy because there's no property damage to the location. So moving forward, you know, what's the expectation? I don't know. I would tell you that we'll probably see more and more true full exemptions, right, where it will straight up on the policy say that we don't cover it. Most carriers already say they do have that in their policy. Remember, as a broker, I don't represent every company out there. So most of the captive insurance companies, a State Farm, an Erie, a Geico, we don't work with them because they work directly with their agents. So I don't know about their forms. But, yeah, for the most part, it's been a tough area. And the second piece will be exactly what you were leaning towards was if a regional insurance company or a local insurance company was now made to pay this business interruption but never budgeted for that in their underwriting, would they have enough funds to do it? And the answer from what we're hearing is no. The second piece to that is, as you're probably familiar, Drew, there is actually what's called the reinsurance market where insurance companies are buying insurance on themselves. And that second piece is the piece that would be impacted.
Yeah. So, you know, I read through our business interruption insurance policy, and I can say I didn't see anything in there that said we don't include pandemics or things like that. So I'm fascinated by the concept that they're saying that it's actually in some of their policies where they specifically exclude it. I haven't seen that, actually. I didn't even know anybody knew that there was such a thing.
Yeah, so there is specific wording from, again, I'm talking on a general level here, not on one specific insurance company, but yes, there are some people who do have specific pandemic wording exclusions. In the same way, if most people who are listening would see on their policies, they'd be familiar with things like a lead exclusion, a mold exclusion, things like that. Because
War is a very common exclusion in policies.
Yeah. Now, we almost always recommend the water coverage, but yeah, the mold and the lead are two of the most common that people look for coverage and just don't have it.
Right. So it's a fascinating topic, and I'm sure it's not one that's going to be is finished being debated at this point in time.
It's not, and I would tell you there's been a lot of good advice out there from attorneys and HR companies and brokers. I mean, I would, again, pick up the phone and call your broker. But there's a lot of good conversation as to what's going to happen. It's sounding right now like it's going state by state. But most of the states, and again, talking generalists, have been pretty, you know, hold steady on no coverage here. unless we're going to fight it.
So does do business owners have to put in a claim, and or can they just wait and see if it ever is covered?
So that's a great question. We do have both takes on that. So some of our clients are calling in and asking to have a claim put in just so that they can get in line, so that if there was to be a government step in or any other carrier to say we're going to go back and pay, they want to have their quote-unquote number and claim number. Others are saying, I don't want to put the potential loss on my claims record because it's not covered. However, if it comes up and it will be paid, I would like to call in at that time. I don't think there's a right answer. I've heard both sides. I've heard some carriers that put in, some agents that put in the claim for every single one of their clients, which it's supposed to come from the client, not from the insurance broker in terms of the desire to have that claim turned in. Brokers aren't to just turn it in without talking to their client. It's been back and forth. And again, some advice I would get from their local, attorney or HR department as to their thoughts or their broker.
Yeah. Are there any other situations that are coming up with this pandemic? Like, for example, auto insurance, your commercial auto policies, less driving, less businesses, maybe even a lot of their trucks are actually shut down and they're not even allowed to take their fleet out. But yet you're paying a boatload of insurance premiums. What's happening there?
There's two hot topics. That would be one, and the other one I'll jump in after that is workers' compensation. As far as automobile goes, you've already started on the personal line seeing some rebates out there from a number of carriers saying, hey, we know you can't go to work. We know you're not commuting. We know you're not out driving. We're going to be giving typically anywhere between 10 and 30% of your premiums for that 2 months back. So you'll start seeing for many people some return checks from their personal line. On the commercial side, there's been a little bit of a lag there, and there's two reasons for that. One, some insurance companies are allowing for some quote-unquote rebates to go out to their clients. The hard part is if you don't take the tags off that vehicle or disconnect the battery or make sure no one's driving and it goes on the road, the insurance company would have an uninsured vehicle. And they're up for some ramifications for that.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So it's going to be interesting to see how they continue to handle that commercial auto situation due to the fact that so many cars aren't driving. You know, and I've heard a lot of debate about, some companies are giving you a rebate. And they're making a big deal out of it. We're giving you your money back and so forth. Other companies are reducing the premium. Me personally, I'd rather have the reduced premium than a quote-unquote rebate. What say you?
Yeah, so I guess it would depend on the scenario and the type of client at that point. As far as a rebate, you've already paid money out, so getting some of your money back is fine. Typically, what I would tell you, if you were looking at the broad insurance spectrum, automobile insurance is one of the fastest growing increasing rates out there. So I would tell you, of course, any future savings would be great. But those rates are historically going up just because I think we talked about this last time we were on the show is costs of vehicles and vehicle damage is going up every day. So if you get into that fender bender with the car in front of you and it happens to be a name that type of car, Mercedes, BMW, Tesla, whatever it may be, a kind of high-end car, that bumper now has cameras in it and is hooked up, and it's going to cost a lot more to fix. So the claims are exponentially growing as well.
It's amazing how much more it costs. I remember once, somebody just literally tapped my bumper. I mean, you didn't even feel it. You got on, you looked at it. It didn't even seem damaged. And I took it to the body shop and I said, they hit this. What do you think? You got a little scratch here. Why don't you get it, and so forth. And they came back with like an $800 fix because they said once that bumper was hit, the springs go in. And when the springs go in, they don't come back out. And if they don't come back out, you don't have the same protection of that bumper that you were originally had. And they have to replace it.
Yeah, the exposure and the size of claims is really getting a little out of control. There's also a lot of people who have been complaining, I was told I had to go to this body shop or that body shop, and I got generic parts. I mean, there's a lot of moving pieces in that auto space. again, another scenario where I would tell every client to please pick up the phone and call their broker and talk through with what their options are. You know,
yep.
Calling a random 800 number might not get you the advice you want.
All right, Chris, you got to hold on for us. We're talking commercial property casualty tonight. If for anybody who has a question on commercial property casualty, 410-922-6680. Right now, I've got to go to traffic. Take it away, traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. We're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're talking commercial property casualty right now. That's your business insurances. And it's not as simple as you might think. And you better make sure you have it covered because it can cost your business. So that's what we're talking about tonight. But before I move on, I just want to let a lot of people last week kept asking about their stimulus check. And I will say that the website finally for the government, Get My Payment, is starting to work for the most part. I mean, you know, I've gone on there and I got about Monday and I checked and it said the client was going to get his check today, the 29th. And lo and behold, the client wrote me and said, yeah, it was deposited the 29th. I went into two others and they said, we don't have the bank information. I know they had the bank information, but I had to fill in the bank information again for them, and they said they'll get the check right out. So we'll see if we get that. But the point is that Get My Payment is starting to work now, and I would recommend that you try it. Just do a Google search, Get My Payment, and make sure it's the IRS.gov website you're going to when you do that Google search of Get My Payment. It's usually the first, but I saw one Google search I did where it was the second one down. So anyway, check on that. I'm with Chris Cassandyke. Chris, are you still there?
Absolutely.
All right, sir. We're gonna have a virtual happy hour. I thought that was a cool idea. Chris, you should – this is my producer, Chris. You got the drinks? Yeah, he's got the drinks. Okay. anyway, Chris, commercial property casualty insurance, workers' comp, you were talking about that as another big issue that's happening with this COVID-19. So what's going on?
So there's been a lot of questions coming out for two reasons. Number one, the question is, if one of my employees does get COVID-19, coronavirus, whatever people want to call it now, are we covered? And the question has been lingering because the answer is, well, how do we know that employee got it because of work or while at work? And it's been a very difficult point to prove or lean towards. So, again, going back to how each state is handling it, it's a little bit different, as well as with each carrier. But we are starting to get the most pushback from the healthcare industry. So you could imagine there's a number of hospital employees, there's paramedics, there's ambulance drivers, there's everybody who's on the front line really helping out the government and helping all the people of the United States just to get through this and get taken care of. And if they contract, you know, this pandemic, what happens? And ideally, the answer is yes, that would be a covered peril, although it hasn't been that clear, again, state by state and carrier by carrier. So a number of clients are starting to call and ask the question, and it's a great question that I think is still a little vague as the way it's being handled.
So what if, I have a client that has a medical condition and, he says, I can't be around the chance of contracting the coronavirus. Would that be a workers' comp thing if they say, well, we can't protect you in that regard?
So that's where the second piece of this comes in. And that's the great question, Drew. I would tell you, we're going to see more and more of this play out. You've also got companies who have altogether shut down the standard operation. If you were one day a manufacturer worker or a laborer, and the next day you're basically clerical, the company didn't have a layoff, but they're putting you in a different function, should you still be paying the high rate of, you know, what you were doing before, that role doesn't even exist anymore? And that's where it's really going to start getting pushed into premiums. Now, as far as the environment and whether or not that would be something that somebody is able to do or not do, again, I would recommend talking to the HR department there But number two, looking in to make sure that your general liability policy or that your employment practices liability policy would actually cover the organization in case they accidentally put somebody in a scenario they weren't aware of.
Right.
Again, just to protect the company.
What if a company said, hey, you know, if you don't feel you can do this because you're high risk for serious injury from the coronavirus, if not death, so we're going to fire you, and the person brings an ADA lawsuit against you. You know,
yeah,
what happens then?
Yeah, it could be an ADA lawsuit. It could also just be a general employment practice lawsuit, depending on, you know, how the suit was actually brought in. A lot of firms have historically shied away from employment practices by saying, oh, we're a small business, we don't have turnover, you know, whatever it may be. Unfortunately, now employment practices is a very hard product to buy. Can you buy it? Absolutely. But the questions out there from the insurance companies are going to gear towards, are you basically already aware of a scenario that will most likely lead to this claim? Because if so, they don't want to get onto that account.
So you just said something. You just said something interesting there. There are a lot of small business owners, maybe 5, 10, 15, 20 employees, and they don't even know that if an employee has a grievance with the company that and they bring a lawsuit against them, that they're typically not insured for that.
Yeah, or they have a very small amount as part of that BOP policy that you mentioned earlier, where there might be a small limit, maybe $10,000 or $25,000 for defense costs. But you're absolutely right. It's not a true standalone employment practices liability policy.
Or if somebody in the company brings an accusation against you for, let's call it sexual harassment, very common. And you probably have very little or no coverage for that.
Absolutely, yeah. This policy is one of the faster-growing claims out there. You're seeing it on the rise, and you'll see it industry by industry. It's not geared just towards one industry. It could be a restaurant lawsuit one day. It could be a law firm the next. You really never know which way they're coming. But we do recommend that all of the clients at least ask to get the quote to see what it would cost them. I think a lot of people, not as much now as it would have been, you know, a couple months ago, cheaper than they would have expected.
You're on a an advisory board, or you're on the board of the company. You're an officer of the law firm, or the whatever. You know, you got an LLC running that restaurant, and you're on the board of that LLC, or whatever the case may be. And all of a sudden, the claim comes in. You're going to be named in that lawsuit, and you probably don't have coverage for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not very difficult to start the lawsuit. And as you know, it could be wrongful termination, you know, sexual harassment. You nailed them. It could be anything where you did something different to me than you did to somebody else. And with the amount of layoffs out in the environment right now, it's just a really fine thread as to why one person was laid off versus another person or whatever it may be.
And this is why it's important that when you get property casualty insurance, you know exactly, or you know absolutely, the person you're dealing with has expertise in this area. You're not going to just your auto and home agent and saying, you know, hey, help me get a property casualty policy, which is so often what I see.
Yeah, and again, that's why our firm, similar to how you all operate, where you truly put specialists in front of each client, it really makes all the difference. And while some of our clients say, wow, Chris, it's difficult to deal with three people in your firm, I say, well, I'm sorry you have to deal with three people, but I have one person that specializes in this and one that specializes in another, and everything still will run through the producer. But you really want the experts in there with them to kind of say, one person can't be the best at everything. Bring in the right people around them and the supporting staff to help them grow. And we would tell anybody, even if you're a client or not a client, if you just have questions or want to learn, most insurance brokerage firms are willing to take those calls, our firm as well. And Drew, I know you all are the same way. That's kind of part of how we grow and how we add value to the process.
Right. So anyway, we're going into the last segment of our show right now, Chris, but we got to do one more pause with traffic, and then we're going to come right back, finish up talking about commercial property casualty. Probably one of the best things you can do is make sure you have correct commercial insurance. And when I review them, I typically find close to 90% of the time there are serious flaws in those policies. Anyway, I'm going to go to traffic. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your Financial Physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBL.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we're talking commercial property casualty tonight. And we've got Chris Kassendyke with us. Chris, why don't you tell everybody how they get in touch with you? I know you can work with any business owner that wants to get an analysis, but you have a group of types of businesses that you really work with, you and your team. So you want to share any of that? That's totally up to you. Tell everyone how they get in touch with you.
Yeah, sure. So Kassendyke Insurance Group is part of another firm called Maury Donnelly & Parr. To get in touch with myself or any of our team, you can check out the website, which is www.mdpins. So it looks like mdpins.com. Also, I mean, Drew, your team has my email address and everything, but I would tell you that has most of our information. As far as our clients, we're a nationally based firm, so based here in Baltimore, but licensed and actively writing in all states. And so, yeah, things are going great. My team, what I personally mainly work on, real estate, construction, nonprofits, private schools, marinas, kind of stays in that area along with the hospitality and manufacturing. But, yeah, outside of that, Drew, as you know, we're pretty good about bringing in the right kind of person from our firm. We've got over 100 employees, so we really try to match the right client up with the right broker.
So that's M as in Mari, D as in Donnelly, P as in Parr, I-N-S as in insurance, INS, M-D-P-I-N-S.com, right?
You got it.
And you know, so you have lots of different types of businesses that you work with. So let's talk cybersecurity. So because this is something that can wipe a company out, absolutely wipe a company out, but most people don't even know they have the risk. Most people are not insuring the risk, and you have a very serious risk.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would tell you the good news for everybody is over the last, you know, call it 3 to 5 years, the pricing on cyber insurance has dropped drastically because there's been more and more entrants into the marketplace. So more and more insurance companies are now offering cyber, which has helped drive the premium down a little bit. The hard part with cyber, the real reason to get a true expert on this, is the form changes on a daily basis because every time there's a new type of hack or a new type of ransom or a new type of, you know, wanting to be paid in Bitcoin versus cash, everything kind of continues to change as new loopholes are found. But one that I would tell everyone to keep their eye on is a coverage called social engineering. And that is when somebody pretends they're somebody else and it looks just like it's them and you wire money or transfer money. A lot of times that's not covered and that could be built into a cyber liability policy.
Wow. Yeah, that does happen more than you would imagine. You know, I'm obviously in the financial services industry, and so my type of company is targeted quite often, and they manage to get an email to somebody and say, you know, hey, one of your clients needs some money wired immediately. And, you know, in our firm, they're so afraid to send out a wire that they check everything 3 times before they ever send it out. But it happens more than you'd imagine.
Absolutely. The big thing we recommend is what's called a callback provision. A lot of times what people are getting now is a fake, you know, whether it's a receipt, whether it's an invoice, whatever it may be, where not only has the wire number been changed to this fake person, but also the phone number has. So we typically tell our clients that if they're wiring a number over whatever is considered a big number to them, to make sure that their person is also Googling who they're sending it to and getting the real phone number and calling and making sure it's their actual wire number, because the fraud and the cyber impact right now is happening very well, and the documents look very real.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct, and we do that. We just had one this week. The guy was wiring $165,000 to a settlement company, and he had all the documents, and they had come to him overnight express. He was a former FBI agent to boot, and I said to him, I said, John, there's no way I'm going to just wire this money there. We've got to find their phone number on the web. We're going to call them on the phone number that we got off the web, and we're going to make sure that this is their wiring instruction before we do. And he goes, don't you think that's a little too much? I said, no, we're going to do it anyway. And we did. We called them, and they said, yep, those are our things. You know, thanks for checking, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And we got the wire ready and sent it off. But we don't wire anything off without triple double check, you know.
No, I think that's the right move, Drew. And the other piece I would tell business owners that while they're thinking about their own insurance or their cyber insurance, to make sure that the people that they're allowing on their premise also have the right insurance. Some of the largest claims in the cyber world have actually been from contractors hooking up into a system. And I'm not going to throw out names, but you know, a number of people are aware of these claims. So make sure as a business owner that not only do you carry the cyber liability, but that you require the people coming on your property or hooking up to your systems or, you know, dealing with your accounting or finance are also carrying the same cyber liability and covering you from that standpoint.
Yeah, that's the certificate of insurance that's, you know, a lot of personal, like when you have people come to your house, I'm always telling my clients, do you get a certificate of insurance? But that's extremely important in a business, too.
Absolutely. And getting named as what's called additional insured on that certificate is really what's going to hold, because it all drives back to a quote-unquote contract. And some policies now are starting to carve away from coverage if there's no contract in place between the person purchasing the service and the person selling it. So we definitely recommend to make sure there's at least some sort of agreement signed transferring the liability from the individual, whether it's a homeowner or a business owner, back to the contractor or the person providing a service.
Yeah. Commercial property casualty is not simple. And here's another key thing about commercial property casualty. It's more of a negotiated line of coverage as opposed to personal insurance, which is rates are filed with the insurance commissioner. In property casualty, you can have two identical companies and two identical policies, but very different premiums. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. The premiums will vary by the information provided by the person, as well as the carrier that agent was to go out to. And again, the big difference between a brokerage firm like ours is, you know, we have access to multiple carriers where we can kind of push one against the other or come back with the best quote, where a lot of the smaller agencies or the agency that might be what's called captive, meaning they only represent one carrier, that number is what you get.
Yeah. So, and you just made a good point. It's that it can be negotiated. They could come back and say your premium's $8,252. And then you say, well, wait a minute. Company over here is saying they'll do it for $7,655. And they'll say, okay, we'll do it for $7,542.
Right. Yeah. And it's not typically put to that level where they're actually driving down off of each other, because a number of
it can.
But most admitted markets have a filed rate and they do have to stay within that filed rate term. But yes, there are times where you can definitely leverage one versus another, especially if it's trying to keep an account that they're already on.
So I got only a minute left. Tell everybody again how to connect with you guys if they want somebody who I consider to be professional looking at their property casualty insurance.
Sure. So I'm Chris Kastendijk. Our team is the Kastendijk Insurance Group, and we're within Maury Donnelly & Parr, or MDP Insurance. To find us, just www.MDonnelly, PINS.com. And then myself, my brother, my father, and the rest of the KIG team are on that site. So are all of the other great brokers at Murray Donnelly and Parr.
So you got 15, 20 seconds. Anything else you want to add before we call it a night?
I would just tell everybody to make sure they're picking up the phone and asking the questions, and don't be ashamed to ask the question, because the brokers aren't able to read, you know, minds and tell you more about your company than you can tell us. So I just give the advice to pick up the phone and call.
All right. Well, Chris, I really appreciate you taking the time tonight to do this. And I pray that you are safe, you and your family, and everybody that's working with you at Murray Donnelly and Parr.
Same to you, Drew. Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy. Take care. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. I know things are going to be just fine if you only live. What I'd like to do to you, shower the people you love with love. Show them the way you feel. Things are going to be just fine.